If you have your Bible, I'd appreciate if you turn to Luke chapter 16, verses 23 through verses 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. And it says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, and would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. God has a plan for salvation. And he ain't going to change the program. He ain't going to change the plan. He ain't going to change the procedure just for somebody that's gone to hell. This plan is a perfect plan. It's a plan out of heaven above. And those who want to be saved can be saved. And those who don't and want to reject it, they'll go on to hell without a Savior. But today I want to preach simply this message, things in hell that we need in the church. Things in hell that we need in the church. Now, of course, we've read this scripture from Luke 16 and we've seen here, this is the rich man and Lazarus who saw each other quite often from day to day. And the rich man wouldn't even give him the time of day, much less anything else. But Lazarus had something the rich man didn't have, and that's salvation. He knew the Lord. He knew Him. I'd say I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. I'd rather be saved and born again and lived in a poor house than to be the richest man in the world and not have Jesus. And that's the way this is, and according to the Scripture. Lazarus knew the Lord. He might not have had a whole lot down here on this earth, but he knew the Lord, and he had the Lord. And the rich man had it all, but he didn't have Jesus. And I'll say right here, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have it all. But if you have Jesus, you have it all through His blood and through the grace of God. Let me say, we see here in the Scripture where he lift up his eyes. We come to a place where the rich man finally died and went to hell without a Savior. I'm afraid there's a lot of folks on their way to hell today. Let me say that not only are there folks out on the streets and in the gutters and in the slime and the filth of the world and in the bars and the taverns and the whorehouses and everything else, they're not only going to hell, but there's people in church that go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're lost without a Savior. They come and they hear the preacher, or they come and they hear just a good speech or go through a formal ritual of some kind of a religious ritual. But I'm saying to you this day that there's folks on their way to hell that attend churches. I'm talking about they attend the Catholic churches and the Church of Christ churches. They attend the Baptist churches and the Methodist churches. I'm not trying to push one denomination over another, but I'll say this, there's people that go to church every Sunday that's lost without a Savior need to be born again. Yes, even in an independent Baptist church, there's folks that go to church that are even leaders in the church that are lost without a Savior. There's people that go to church, they've been so often that people think they're members and think they're saved, but in their hearts they know they're lost without a Savior, and they need to be born again, and they need to be saved, and they know if they was to die, they would go to hell without a Savior. And this man, Lazarus, finds himself tormented in the flames. And he's standing there in the flames of hell. And he's gone to hell without a Savior. Oh, if he could just turn around. If he could take back all the things he'd done. Oh, if he could have just had a moment of time to repent. He had that moment, but he didn't take the opportunity. If he had just knelt somewhere and said, Lord, come in my heart, come in my soul. I'll give up the world. I'll give up everything if you just save my soul. Oh, I'm telling you, there could have been a revival in that man's heart. He could have known salvation. He could have been born again. He could have been saved by the grace of God. He wouldn't have had to go to hell. He wouldn't have had to face what he faced. But instead, we read in the Scripture that he rejected the Lord. And now he finds himself in the torments of hell. And there he is, and afar off he sees Abraham and Lazarus in the bosom. And he says, Lord, Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm just asking you to send Lazarus and let him dip the tip of his finger in the water and just let it cool my tongue. Oh, just a little bit of relief. Just a little bit of help. Oh, wasn't that, ain't it amazing how things turn around sometimes? Amen. Yes, sir. Lazarus was begging the rich man on earth. But now the rich man's begging for Lazarus in hell. What about that? The tide had changed. The things had turned around. And we see here the rich man saying, oh, if he could just take just one drop to cool my tongue, it'd be a help to me, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham's response to him was this. He said, son, there ain't no way. Son, there ain't no way. He said, that even if we could, we can't. Even if we tried, there ain't no way. And he said, the reason is there's a great gulf. He said, there's a great gulf between hell and between the place we are in paradise. And there's no way that we can cross that great gulf. It's fixed. It's done. It's over with. You're in hell forever. And there's no changing that. There's no making a difference. And there's no way that we can come to you. There's no way Lazarus can come to you and dip his finger in a water and cool your tongue. There's no possible way. It's fixed. It's done. Let me say right here, that great gulf that's fixed is not a place of purgatory that somebody on earth can pray you out of. There's no such thing as that. It's either heaven or it's hell. You're either lost or you're saved. You're either right with God or you're lost without God. You're either with the righteous born again on your way to heaven. God's done a work in your heart, washed your sins away and changed your life, or you're lost and your heart's filthy with black sin. And friend, I'm telling you, you're in hell. I'm telling you, once it's done, it's done. It's fixed. There is no changing it. What are you going to do? If you wind up in hell, well, you'll just have to stay there in torment for eternity. And eternity never ends. Eternity never finishes. And he said, there's no way I could help you. There's no way Lazarus can help you. And he says here, Then the rich man turned around and said, Oh, but if you would do this then, I understand. If Lazarus or somebody, or if I could, or Lazarus or somebody, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send us him to my father's house. He said, let Lazarus go back to earth. Let him go back. Let him go to my father's house. He said, because I've got 5 brethren over there that's lost without a Savior. Oh, and they're just as lost as I am. And they're going to hell just like I have. Oh, and if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell without a Savior. And he said, if you just send Lazarus to talk to them and tell them about Jesus and tell them about salvation and tell them how they can be born again and tell them how their heart can be changed. He said, I know they'd accept the Lord. I know they'd get right. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. If they would just, if you just send Lazarus to tell them about Jesus, I believe that they'd accept it. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. I don't want them to go to this hell that I'm in. And Abraham said to him, sir, there's something you don't understand. That ain't how this plan works. That ain't the procedure. That ain't the way this plan works. God's got a plan of salvation. That ain't how it works. You see, how this plan works is the fact they have Moses. And they had the prophets. In other words, they have the Scripture. They have the Word of God. And they have a preacher man that's been sent already. And he said they're going to have to listen to them. And he said, but if they'd just be one from the dead, go. Then they'd understand. Then they'd accept. No, that ain't how this works. You can't change God's plan. You can't change this. You see, they're going to have to accept it by faith. And it's got to come by hearing the preached word, the preached gospel from a God-called man that preaches from God's word in order for them to be born again, in order for them to be saved. He said, that's the only way, Mr. Rich Man, is if they be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ by hearing the gospel preached from the prophets, from the preachers that comes from the Word of God. I've got news for you. It still works the same way today. The only way people's going to be saved and not go to hell is if they'll listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart through the preaching of God's holy, divine Word. And when that Holy Ghost taps on their heart and draws them to an old-fashioned altar, if they'll respond and come and fall on their face before God and ask Jesus to come in their heart, then He'll save them. And only God can save them. It don't come through a 1, 2, 3, ABC, repeat after me kind of prayer. But it comes through a heart broken sinner that's begging for the mercy of God, calling upon the Lord, asking Him to save him in order to be saved. That's the only way. That's the only way. I just wanted to let you know that today. I want you to notice a few things that I've noticed about this Scripture. There's things in hell that we need in the church today. Let me say, number one, I found out from reading this Scripture in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He's lifting his eyes up toward heaven and toward the Lord Jesus, toward those that are in heaven. Let me say right here, that's what we need in church before folks go to hell. The church needs to lift its eyes towards heaven. The church needs to lift its eyes towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our problem is we stopped looking up. We stopped looking up toward the Lord and asking for help. We've stopped getting in the altars and calling on the Lord and looking up toward heaven and saying, God, we need your help. You know where our eyes have wandered off? You know where our minds have wandered off? Instead of looking up, we're looking around. And we're trying to see everybody's fault. And we're trying to see everybody's sin. And we're trying to see everybody else that's around us and what they do and what they don't do. But friend, I'm here to tell you, in hell, they're not looking at everybody else around them. In hell, they're not looking at those being tormented around them. But according to this scripture, here's a man looking up toward heaven. He's looking up toward Jesus. He's looking up toward Father Abraham. I want to say right here, if we would do that in our churches today, I'm not only talking to lost people, I'm talking to church people. I'm telling you, if we would look up toward heaven and look toward Jesus, instead of looking at everybody around us, we might find help from the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord comes and He helps those that call upon Him. And the Lord will help you if you look toward heaven and look for Him. Amen. So that's one thing that we need in church that's in hell today. We need to lift up our eyes toward heaven and toward Jesus. We've stopped looking up. Lost people in church, I'm telling you, you need to look up. Instead, you're looking at fault. You're looking at everything else. You're looking at what the preacher's doing, the singer's doing, and everything else. Why don't you get your mind off those things and look up toward heaven and say, God, save my wretched, wicked soul that's on its way to hell. Hell's lifting its eyes toward heaven. Let me say, second of all, I found here in the scripture, hell is crying and wailing and praying. We find this in verse 24. He said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now we read that scripture and it's real easy just to pass over it and brush it off. And you know, nowadays, this is the way folks, they want to pray just simple prayers and be all formal with it and everything. But let me tell you something. Here's a man in hell. And he's a begging for help. And he's begging for some mercy. And he's begging that somebody would just give him one drop of water. And let me tell you something. He's not standing there in a three-piece suit trying to be all formal and trying to be all dignified and wondering about what everybody's going to think about his prayer. No, sir, he ain't standing there saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That ain't the kind of prayer he's a-praying. No, sir, you know what kind of prayer he's a-praying? This is what he's a-praying. He's saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. God, send Lazarus. And he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. God, I need your help. That's the kind of praying he's a-doing. And I'll say this right here. That's the kind of praying they're praying in hell every day. But I'm telling you, if lost people that go to church every Sunday would get in an old-fashioned altar and start praying from their heart and knowing that they're going to hell without a Savior and begin to pray that kind of prayer with a sincere heart, with a broken spirit, and come before God weeping and a wailing and a crying and saying, God, save me. Lord, help me. Help me not to go to hell. Lord, save my soul. I'm telling you, it'd get the attention of heaven. It'd get the attention of a Savior that's got the blood that can wash away your black sin and make it white as snow. I'm here to tell you right now, there ain't no one kind of praying when it comes to salvation. And that's a crying and a wailing and a weeping and a begging for God for His mercy. And if you don't ever do that kind of praying, and if you don't ever ask God to save your soul with that kind of praying, you will go to hell without a Savior. That's the kind of praying we need
in our churches today. Let me tell you, this rich man here, he wasn't praying a lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. He wasn't praying a God is good, God is great kind of prayer. He wasn't praying a kind of a repeat after me type of prayer. He wasn't praying in a moment of silence. No, sorry, he wasn't doing all that kind of praying. But he is a begging God for mercy. What was his prayer? God, have mercy on me. I'm telling you, if people would start praying that kind of prayer, they'd get saved. They'd get born again. And if saints would stay sanctified with this kind of prayer, they could be sanctified and stay sanctified with praying, have mercy on me. And that's how you keep in a sanctification mode. Amen. Then he says that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He's asking for relief. God, I need relief. I've done this as a sinner and I've done this as a saved person, friend. I've gone to God. I'm telling you, when I was lost without a Savior, and even as a saved person that's done wrong and went back on God and did things in my life, I've had to go to the altar time and time and time again and say, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is tormenting me. I'm tired of sleepless nights. I'm tired of worrying about this. I need some relief. I'm tired of this burden. I'm tired of the sin in my life. Lord, wash me. Make me clean and make me right. Then he asked for water. You know what we need to be asking for? Some living water. Some living water. I'm talking about lost people. You ought to be praying that the Holy Ghost save your heart. The living water of God can cleanse your sins. And it ain't in a baptismal pool somewhere. That ain't going to do you a bit of good. You're going to go to hell without a Savior, sure as the world. Let me tell you something. Did you know that Jesus was baptized? And you know what? Have you ever thought about this? There was no sin about him if you believe the Scripture and take it by faith and know beyond all doubt Jesus had no sin about him. I don't care what the Da Vinci Code and all the other crowd says. I'm here to tell you Jesus had no sin about him. Yet he was baptized. And baptism was not for the purpose of saving his soul because he was the Savior. And it ain't for the purpose of saving your soul. You can be dunked, you can be sprinkled, you can go through all that if you want to, but friend, it ain't going to wash your sins away. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. And friend, let me tell you, if you're lost, you need to be praying that the living water of God wash your sins away. Now you follow baptism after you're saved to show the world there's been a change, to show the world what's happened in your soul, an outward public way of showing what's happened in your heart and in your soul. And if you're saved, you need to be a praying for living water, the Holy Ghost to move in your life. I'm here to tell you, not only was he a praying, have mercy, and begging for water, but he said, I'm tormented. Now, friend, when you're lost and you know it, it's torment. Man, I'm telling you, you ever seen anybody under conviction without God and on their way to hell? I'm telling you, they need help. And when you're saved and things are dead and it's an icicle type of service, I'm telling you, if you've really been born again, you've really been saved, and you know what the Holy Ghost is, and you know what the power of God is, when you get in an old dead icicle type of service, man, it's torment. I don't know about you, I'd rather be at the house than to be in some old dry icicle service and no type of power of God around. I'm telling you, we need a touch from God. Let me say, not only that was this in hell, but in verse 27, verse 28, let me read here. It said, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Let me tell you something else that was in hell. This man had found in hell, there was a burden for lost people. My. And he was praying with a burden for his lost brethren. And he is praying for his five brethren. My, my, my. You know what we need among our church people? You know what? This is one thing that's in hell that we need in our church. We need people with a burden that's praying with a burden for lost people that are praying for their lost loved ones that are on their way to hell. Things in hell we need in the church. Let me say, third of all, in hell there's weeping. In hell there's weeping. There's lost souls need to be weeping today. I'm telling you, it's just happy-go-lucky. They watch their races and their ball games and don't even think about God, and God ain't even around in their thoughts or nothing like that at all. I used to be there, friend. But I'm telling you, there came a day when I realized that I needed to be saved, and there wasn't but one hope, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that lost souls need to be weeping, and they need to be praying. Lost souls need to be weeping over their lost souls that they can be saved. I'm telling you, saved souls, those that are born again, need to be weeping over the lost souls that are on their way to hell. The lost and the saved need to be weeping. What about sin that's going on in people's lives? There's abortion, adultery, obscenity, fornication, and lying, and on and on and on. And we need to be weeping over the sins of the world as saved people. And those that are lost need to be weeping over their own sins and asking God for forgiveness that they be saved. Something else I noticed about this man in hell. In hell, he's lost all of his pride. He lost all of his pride. Oh, yes, sir. Don't you know, on earth, as a rich man, he was a proud fella. Why, he wouldn't give Lazarus time of day. He wouldn't give him nothing. He wouldn't help him out in no kind of way. He was filled with pride. I'm telling you, God hates pride. He hates a proudful look. And I'm here to tell you today, the reason a lot of folks are going to go to hell without a Savior is because they're filled with pride. And they cannot lay pride aside to go to an old-fashioned altar to be saved. They cannot lay it aside. I'm telling you, he wasn't ashamed to cry out to God in hell. He didn't care who heard. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care what the others thought about him. He didn't care if there's anybody around saying, "Well, that's old so-and-so. He had all these mansions. He had everything on earth. What he over there praying like that for?" He didn't care. He didn't care what they thought about him. He is in hell. And he just wanted relief. And he wanted his brethren to be saved. He didn't care. He didn't care how it appeared. He was unashamed. Pride was gone out of his life. Friend, let me tell you something. That was the problem with King Agrippa. When Paul went to him and said, "Hey, you need to be born again, King Agrippa. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be right with God." Here's Paul in chains. Just came out of the prison. Here's King Agrippa sitting on his throne with his palaces, sitting to eat with all these folks all around him. Bernice and so forth was around him there in the Scripture. And Festus and all that. And you know why? And King Agrippa made the statement. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what was holding him back? Pride. What would I look like in front of Festus? What would I look like in front of Bernice? What would I look like in front of all these that are sitting around? And you're telling me I got to give. Here you are, a Christian. Here you are, a Christian, and you're the one in chains. You're the one that's in the prison. Here I am. I'm not a Christian, but yet I've got all my palaces and I've got all my things. I've got all the material things in the world. I'm comfortable. I'm all right. If I bow my knee, what is that going to make me look like? He couldn't give up his pride. And I'm telling you, when he got up from the table and turned away Christianity and turned away being saved, Bernice and Festus and all those that around him got up and went with him. He not only took himself to hell, he took all them with him. And friend, let me tell you something, though, in hell, they're not ashamed to bow their knee. They're not ashamed to throw away the pride and say, "God, help my soul." And that's what we need in church today. That's what lost people need to be doing. In hell, they don't care.
They don't care about material things. They're not worried about their clothes, their houses, their cars, their tractors, their bank accounts. They're not worried about things like that in hell. They're not worried about business deals or anything else. In hell, it don't matter no more. They've lost all pride. They don't care about those things. It just don't matter anymore. They don't care about being sociably accepted. They're not worried about it. They're not worried about sports. They don't care who wins a Braves game. They don't care about that. I'm telling you, if we get that in our churches, we'd see revival. Let me say, last of all, in hell, there is repenting. They're confessing all kinds of sins. They're repenting over horrible sins. They're repenting over hell-ho sins. They're repenting over hell-ho homes. They're repenting over hurting the house of God. I'm telling you, there's some deacons and there's some so-called deacons and preachers in hell and even church members that are in hell that are repenting and saying, God, why in the world did I do that to the church? God, why didn't I get saved? Why? Why? Oh, God, forgive me. But it's too late. You know what we got instead? We got these preachers that stand behind the pulpit, that never been called, on their way to hell without a Savior, never been saved, never been born again, that are absolutely tearing churches all to pieces. Not only that, we got deacons that are so-called deacons, never been saved, that give the preacher, I mean a God-called man, that gives a saved man that's behind the pulpit trying to do what God wants him to do, giving him fits and giving him trouble, and there to cause discord, there to cause problems. And then we have church members doing the same thing. I'm telling you, what needs to happen in the church is what's happening in hell. And what's happening in hell is that they're confessing their sins and they're repenting and saying, God, save my soul, first of all. And second of all, they're saying, Lord, help me not to do this to the church. My, I'm telling you, folks need to get saved and get right with God in hell. If they just had an opportunity to do that over again, they'd be in that altar in no time. Oh, hell's repenting. And I'm here to tell you that we need that in the church. In close, I just want to give you something to take home with you. There's a lot of lost people out there. And they go to our churches every Sunday. And they need a Savior. And you may be one of them that's listening. I don't know. But I got to thinking about something. And this may sound a little strange. I got to thinking about this. If the seven dwarfs, now just listen to me. If the seven dwarfs were really real, if they were real people, I honestly believe that they'd just go to hell. Why? Why do you say that? Well, I got to looking at it and looking at their personalities and their characteristics, and I started realizing I see a lot of different people in this. Let's just go down through the list, if I may, in closing. Number one, what about old Doc? You know his type. Well, let me tell you something. He couldn't get saved. You know why? Because Doc is the intellectual type. He's the type that's got to have proof that Jesus died and rose again. He's the type that says, hey, I just cannot go along with the virgin birth. I just can't believe that. And you're saying that a man has to be born again? That's an impossibility. It's not a medical proven thing, and it's not medical. That's what he don't understand. It's a spiritual thing. You're born again through the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. But see, Doc's got to have proof for everything. Everything's got to add up just right. Everything's got to come in order just right. I mean, he's got to study it all out, and it's got to be all proven, and everything has to be intellectually intact. But I've got news for Doc and those that are docs out there. I'm here to tell you, you've got to accept the Bible, and you've got to accept Jesus Christ by faith. And there's a lot of things in that Word of God that, just logically speaking, it don't make a lick of sense. Oh, but spiritually, when you get a hold of this thing, you get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're born again, you get over into the Holy Ghost world, it'll make a whole lot of sense to you. And you got to accept it by faith. Doc would go to hell without a Savior simply because he can't accept Jesus by faith. In hell, Doc ain't. You know, if he was in hell, if he is real and went to hell, Doc believes upon Christ there. In hell, he ain't needing no scientific proof. There's a lot of docs in hell that said, no, I can't go along with that religious crowd. I can't go along with that saved crowd. I just cannot believe that virgin birth thing. I cannot believe that a man died and rose from the grave. I just can't go along with that. And right now, they're in hell without a Savior. But you know what? They ain't wanting no scientific proof there. They're not wanting to be intellectually right and everything add up. But right now, they believe. They believe upon Christ. Oh, if the docs would just believe now. Well, what about Happy? What about him? Well, he's a type, he never needed Christ. You know why? Because he was happy. He is happy with life just the way it was. Well, it's the way it is. Oh, he's just a happy-go-lucky fella. You never saw him sad or anything like that. This is the type of person you say, boy, if he is a Christian, boy, he'd make a good one because everything else is intact. Seems like. But he don't know Christ, and he don't go to church, and he don't have the Savior in his life. But he's happy. Here on this earth. And see, he's happy with hunting. He's happy with fishing. He's happy with working and beer drinking. He's just happy. He's just having a good time. That's what life's all about, ain't it? Oh, just go through life hunting and fishing and working and beer drinking and watching the races and going to the ball games and going out on the lake and things like this. He's just happy-go-lucky. Why do I need Christ? That's what he's thinking. Why do I need Christ? I'm just as happy as can be. Things are just fine in my life. Why do I need all that? But let me tell you something. He never has time for God, and he never has time for church, because he's too busy being happy. Oh, but in hell, let me tell you something, happy ain't happy in hell. Because, friend, I'm telling you, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without being born again, you don't know what real happiness is till you're saved by the grace of God. Friend, you think hunting and fishing and working and all these other things and out on the lake and beer drinking is a good time. You think that's being happy. That ain't happiness. I'm telling you, happiness is here in my heart. Happiness is down deep in my soul, down in the very depths of my soul where the blood of Jesus wash my sins away, and happiness is going to last for eternity in heaven. But those that are only happy here on earth without God will not be happy in hell. What about Grumpy? Well, he is a type that griped and grumped and had a fit about everything in the world. I mean, yeah, they wouldn't know kind of kind word at all. I mean, he is hateful. He is mean and hateful and grumpy and grippy. He even went to church some. And all he could do is grump and gripe about the church. And all he could do is grump and gripe about the preacher. Grumped about everything. Griped about everything. Grumpy was just grumping and griping all the time. That's all he ever does. But let me tell you something. When he goes to hell, you know what? He ain't going to be a griping and grumping about anything. But instead, he's going to say, God have mercy on me. God, send Lazarus with some water to cool my tongue. That's what he's going to be praying. He ain't going to be griping about nothing. He's just going to beg God for mercy, begging for God to save him. Oh, if I was grumpy, I'd get in the altar and I'd get over my griping grumps and God get saved and get right with God, what I'd do. What about Sneezy? There's a character for you. You see, he's always just too sick to go to church. Because, you know, he's always got a little problem going on. A little bit of sickness, a little bit of problem, complaining all the time. I just couldn't make it this morning, preacher. I just couldn't make it to church. I mean, he's got all kind of excuses about being sick all the time. And if he ain't sick, his kids are sick because they're of his descendants, you know. And he just sneezes. I mean, he's just sick all the time. And you know, that's why he never did go to church. So he says. But the real reason he won't go to church is because it ain't really because of his sickness. The real reason is because his heart's lost without a Savior. And he's afraid that the sins in his life will be exposed by the Holy Ghost and he'll be convicted of his sins. Oh, but in hell. See, in hell, he ain't all that sick. He's not too sick to cry out to God. He's not too sick to say, God, help me. He's not too sick to start repenting. But it's too late there. There's no kind of mercy or help in hell. You've already made your choice. Sneezy's in hell. He'd go to hell too. What about Sleepy? He's kind of like Sneezy. He just never could go to church because never could wake up. Oh, you know, the type, he works all week, supposedly, and Sunday's the only good day. He has to rest and sleep in, and he's got to have his rest. Lord, help. God, help the little fella. He's got to have his rest. Every once in a while, Sleepy will go to church. And you know what he does in church? Instead of listening to the preacher and getting an altar and getting right, instead, you know what he does? He starts dozing off. Sure as the world, he starts dozing off. But I'm here to tell you, Sleepy's going to wake up one day in hell without a Savior. Because he never did get right with God. Because he never could get out of bed to go to church, to hear the gospel preached, in order to go to an altar to get saved. He never could stay awake in church long enough to let God deal with his heart. And even when God did deal with his heart, I'm just too sleepy. He never sleeps in hell, though. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He only cries and screams for mercy. God help those that need help. Amen. What about Bashful? Yeah, he went to church too. But he never went to the altar. You know why? Just too bashful. Too ashamed. Too bashful to go to the altar. Afraid what somebody's going to think. That's that pride again, ain't it? Too afraid to ask God to save him. Oh, but in hell, he's not bashful. He ain't bashful at all. In hell, he's a begging for mercy and he's begging for help. God help bashful. And then finally, Dopey. What about that little fella? Well, he's a fella that went to church, sit on the back row. And he always cut up and had a big time in church, you see. And every time somebody preached and with the power of God on them, and the motions they made, and the gestures they made, and they'd be a sweating, and a crying, and a taking on, and a shouting, and everything. He's back there making fun. Or he is back there flipping through a song book, looking at the titles of the songs, and making up little sayings, and making up gestures about him, just being funny with everybody else, you know. He was the type that'd cut up, make fun of everything, laughed about everything. Oh, church was just a big joke. It's just a big something to laugh at. It was very entertaining to him, because he could go there and just laugh it up and have a big time. But let me tell you something, he has played church. He just never, he'd write notes and cut up and everything. And therefore, he never got serious enough to let God deal with his heart. Because why? He's just dopey. And you know what Dopey's doing now? Dopey's in hell without a Savior. He's not laughing in hell. There ain't no laughing. There ain't no cutting up when you're being tormented in hell. My. I'm telling you, there's some things in church, in hell, that we need in the church. And these personalities I see in the seven dwarfs, I see them every day. I pass along the streets, and I see them in church. If you're one of them, why don't you come to Jesus and repent and ask Him to come in your heart and be saved?
There is a place that's dear to me. It's where the Savior set me free, and His Spirit came to live within my heart. To me that place is holy ground, for it was there His sweet love I found. In that place that is ever dear to me, I haven't seen that place in years. Oh, but in my mind the picture is so clear. I still remember it like it was yesterday. That little church where the faithful few prayed with me till I prayed through. In that place that is ever dear to me, dear to me. So, so dear to me, that special place where the Lord's grace fell on me. If I live to be 99, I will still recall the time, and that place will be ever dear to me. See, that place is holy ground, for it was there His sweet love I found. In that place that is ever dear to me.